This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London and good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
Let's start with this news coming out of the Fed today and a somewhat hawkish statement.
That's right. We've had a lot of back and forth. We know that with the Fed meeting that we saw the last few days, we have had, you know, kind of this tension amongst Fed committee members. There is simultaneously some that are basically more interested in hikes, while others are more interested in holding interest rates. There's this back and forth, this tug and pull. But today we had more kind of speaking. We know that Kevin Warsh is not a big fan of the forward guidance concept. But we also know by his own kind of mentioning during the meeting that there is sort of a good family fight, as he said, going on behind the scenes within the Fed committee. What I mean by that is that there are some people on the committee that are not necessarily on the exact same page with some of the plans and ideas of the new Fed chair. We also know that we heard this morning from Fed's Logan that modest Fed action in the near term would reduce the likelihood of needing sharper action later. This is interesting because we did see some dissents on the decision not to hike interest rates this week, but there are some rising tensions in the room, it seems, that some Fed members are more in favor of, hey, let's do a little bit of a risk management hike. Let's hike now and let's get it out of the way. Let's not, you know, kind of overthink this. We'll do a little bit of a hike now. And if need be, we can kind of adjust later. But being quicker to act rather than waiting too long is becoming a rising sort of contention point within the Fed. I think that's very, very interesting because if we look at the bond market this morning, Johnny, we have yields moving higher. We have bonds moving lower. The 2-year yield and the 10-year yield are still, well, notably, the 10-year yield is at the highest point that it has been in multiple months. We are back up to almost January 2025 highs. So we see bond yields, despite all of the dovishness that was perceived by Kevin Warsh, we still see bond yields moving higher. Now, that could signal a few things to market participants and viewers, because this rise in yields following the decision not to hike rates sounds initially a little counterintuitive. However, what it might be suggesting is that while they chose not to hike this time around, there is a lot of uncertainty due to the lack of forward guidance. There was not a lot of forward guidance, if at any at all, during Kevin Warsh's speech. And this is very different than what we have been used to with Jerome Powell. Jerome Powell, I think, would have taken the opportunity to kind of look at the bond market, the yields, et cetera, moving higher and say, hey, you know, we are going to remain flexible. If needed, if inflation continues to make a move higher, it's not unreasonable to potentially see a reason to raise the interest rates. We didn't get that at all from Kevin Warsh. And the market is sort of now kind of wondering, all right, so if we're going to have to make our own minds up here before, you know, the Fed will actually even say anything, I mean, it's very possible that he could come out next time and say, hey, you know, we're hiking the rates. There was no forward guidance from that, simply kind of adjusting to the latest votes. But the dissenting, the three dissents amongst Fed committee members, the rise overall in inflation, energy costs up, etc., have people worrying about, you know, potential further hikes. Now, this has been spilling over into other areas. What I mean by that is that you have higher inflation, higher yields, and that's putting pressure on some of the highly leveraged tech trade. We see tech shares sliding here sharply here recently. However, there has been a very sharp bounce back in some of, specifically like the Korean market is up 18% today. We also had some big tech earnings, which we can talk about in just a moment. But overall, volatility is very high, and specifically so in the places that are interest rate sensitive, those inflation and interest rate sensitive areas, seeing the biggest swings simply because if you get a gradual increase in interest rates, that puts on more kind of strain on the balance sheet, as a lot of these big companies, the AI purveyors, if you will, are sensitive to what borrowing costs are doing. The other thing that I wanted to mention here today is the yen, as we have had some significant movement in the Japanese yen here recently. In fact, the largest one-day move on the dollar yen that I have seen, at least in multiple years yesterday. The dollar versus Japanese yen, I'm going to put a number on that, moved over 2.5, at one point over 3% on the day, wiping out over 70 days of gains for the dollar versus the Japanese yen currency pair. A massive, massive move, and perhaps the most serious yen intervention that we have seen thus far. Today, we also saw headlines that the U.S. Treasury has informed banks that it may intervene in the yen market on Friday. Clearly, this exchange rate, the dollar yen being up in the 160s, is unfavorable for both the Bank of Japan and, of course, the U.S. Treasury has a vested interest. Why? Well, Japan is the biggest customer of U.S. Treasuries, or one of them at least, globally. So it is a problem if the Bank of Japan cannot justify buying U.S. treasuries, the biggest customer pulling back is problematic for U.S. yields, which put on upward pressure on the 10-year, on the 20, the 30-year, et cetera. So there is this very, very closely watched dollar-yen movement happening right now as investors and traders are trying to gauge, you know, is the Bank of Japan going to do more than it has? Because as we have seen many times reporting on this podcast, Johnny, we've seen the yen intervention story come and then go, right? The Japanese yen strengthens for a day or two, and then it continues to weaken into continuum. That has been the story over the last multiple years. But perhaps they're getting more serious with both the U.S. and the Bank of Japan, or the Ministry of Finance in Japan, acting together here to keep the exchange rate under control. That could very well be a more serious play to try and get these exchanges or the exchange rate more in favor in a place that the Japanese are more comfortable with. Again, it is a two-party here at play to get that exchange rate into a more controlled level.
Meanwhile, the earnings season continues and more big tech results, Nick, and another picture of contrasting fortunes for Amazon and Apple.
That's right. Two of the stock market's largest companies, and of course, Amazon being a very big player in the AI space. We'll start with the good. The good news is that Amazon had a monstrous report with exceptional earnings, exceptional revenue, and maybe the most important part in all of this, the takeaway for the broader market, is that Amazon's specific AI-based revenue was very strong. Cloud-based revenue, etc. The areas of their business that they are investing heavily in saw tremendous growth. And so the market loves it. Amazon's up almost 15% at the time of recording this. And by the way, that's on a day where so far the stock market is flat, if not slightly red. Meanwhile, to go to Apple, did have still solid earnings, solid revenue, but expectations must have just been a bit too high, because now Apple is down 9.3% on the day, trading at $302 per share, when just a few days ago it was at $344. That's a pretty sharp correction, down about 12.2% from the highs. And this at a time where, you know, CapEx spending amongst all of the Magnificent Seven, the large tech shares, is astronomical. However, what people have liked about Apple is that they have not pursued a spend heavy approach. They've instead kind of been more on the, we'll let the best AI models use our platforms, use the Apple devices, but we won't spend the same kind of money as, you know, Google and Amazon. So people have really praised them for that. That said, today the share prices are pulling back here sharply. Meanwhile, Amazon, like I said, up over 14%+ today.
Now, Nick, this time next week, we'll get the latest jobs numbers from where you are in the United States with the non-farm payroll report. What is the market expecting?
Yes. So next week's NFP report will certainly be the highlight moment. If we're looking at the numbers here in terms of employment change, we're forecasting for 88,000 jobs to be added to the U.S. economy. Previously, it was just 57,000. And if we kind of take a look at the full week ahead next week, on Monday, we do have ISM manufacturing PMIs for the U.S. We have employment data from New Zealand on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we have ISM services PMIs. Thursday, we have unemployment claims for the U.S. And of course, that Friday, not only only do we get the non-farm payroll event, we'll also see Canadian employment as well. So very action-packed week, a week full of jobs data and, of course, market-moving impacts.
Excellent stuff. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.